Well, amen. Good morning. Again, welcome to Fork Union Baptist Church. This morning, we're going to continue just like Brenda was talking about. We're going to continue in the Beatitudes this morning. And we're not going to get a whole lot further, so if you want to go ahead to Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, turn there. If you want to use your phone on your app, whatever you want to do, Matthew chapter 5, go ahead and find that. But also find Luke chapter 18. Just like last week, God has laid this parable on my heart in Luke chapter 18 that we're going to look at as well. So go ahead, for the sake of time, just go ahead and find Luke 18 and Matthew chapter 5. Last week, we started looking into chapter 5 of Matthew, and we didn't get real far. We read through the Beatitudes, but we spent the majority of our time looking at what it really meant to be poor in spirit. If you remember, we talked about how we are blessed when we are poor in the spirit, and how the world looks at that as like, what in the world? Who is blessed when they're poor in the spirit? I don't know about you, but it's 2020. This new year, I want to be blessed this year. Anybody else want to be blessed this morning? I mean, y'all are, golly. I want to be blessed. Do y'all want to be blessed this morning? Y'all want to be blessed this year? All right, y'all got to wake up this morning. It's time to be blessed. See, the world, it sounds crazy, but we know that when we are poor in spirit, it means that we are realizing, just like Brenda said to the children, we are realizing our need for Jesus. We are humbling ourselves and saying, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. That's what it means to be poor in the spirit. And when we realize our need for Jesus, this is the first step when the Holy Spirit really grabs a hold of us to tell us what? He's ready for us to accept His love. He wants us to accept His forgiveness. And He wants us to not only accept His grace, but to walk in it and to stand in it while we're still in this world. So today we're going to continue in this study. So let's read Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to go all the way through the Beatitudes again because we can't hear them too much. This is the Sermon on the Mount. One day as he saw the crowds gathering, start at verse 1, we're going all the way to 12. Jesus went up on the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, and for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you because you are my followers. Be happy about this. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Lord, just like always, God, we stop this morning and we humble ourselves before you and we just praise your name. Lord, we thank you for creating us. We thank you for sustaining us. Lord, we thank you for creating a way for us to be forgiven and to stand before a holy God. Oh God, we're so guilty sometimes. Lord, we dress up and we come to church and we play like we're everything is perfect in our life. But God, you know. You know what we deal with. You know the sin that we're tied up in. You know the fears that we face. You know the regrets we have. You know all the struggles that we're going through in life. God, help us to come to a place where we don't hide that anymore. And we just say, God, I need you. Lord, I need you. Because that's when we really find life and life more abundant. God, I just pray this morning that you would speak to us through your word. As we go through the Sermon on the Mount, looking at what Jesus, Lord, you spoke directly from your mouth, teaching your closest followers. God, help us to be moved by it this morning and changed by it. And help us to apply it to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're going to pick right up where we left off. We stopped at verse 3 last week. So find verse 4, and I'm going to read that again. I'm going to read it right out of the Bible this morning. Verse 4 in chapter 5 says this: God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So this is the second part of a series. I just told somebody last week, I think it was, or the week before last, I'm not a series preacher. I don't preach series and all that stuff. And God, I think, was just up there going, And I had no idea. I thought I was going to get to preach through the Beatitudes in one sermon. I really did. I thought it would be a point for each one of them. And so God is teaching me as I'm teaching you. So let's stop here and let's just look at the word that's used here, that Jesus used here. Jesus says that God blesses those who mourn. So here's Jesus telling his followers, his closest disciples, that if you want to be blessed, if you want to receive, if you want to be blessed, that's what they say in India. Oh, I am very blessed, Pastor. I love that. If you want to be blessed this morning, if the disciples wanted to be blessed, he said, what? You must mourn. Now, this mourning that Jesus talks about here is being brokenhearted. Now, I think it's safe to assume that everybody here today, everyone that may listen to the sermon online, has probably experienced the feeling of a broken heart at one time or another. Am I the only one that's been dumped before and had a broken heart? All right? You know what it feels like to be brokenhearted. Think about what a broken heart really feels like. Just sit there for a second and remember that feeling of how, even it's just like an emotional feeling, your heart physically aches. Anybody with me on that? Has anybody ever felt that? Stop for a second and remember when someone you love broke your heart. This is possibly one of the worst feelings I think we can feel while we're here on earth. Out of all the pain, that is one of the worst. Now, some of you are here thinking, you know, maybe you're thinking about a time where, like I said, a boyfriend or a girlfriend broke up with you. Some of you young folks might be dealing with that right now. Some of you may be thinking of a time when someone close to you just hurt you and disappointed you. Betrayed your trust, or maybe while some of you might be even thinking about a time that you were left out of a certain crowd, or maybe it seemed like everybody else had just kind of left you to the side or pushed you, you weren't welcome in a certain crowd. Well, this is a broken heart indeed, but this broken heart, this mourning that Jesus is talking about, is an even deeper hurt and feeling and mourning than this kind of hurt. This word mourn in the original Greek, it means what it's translated to the deepest kind of hurt, a broken heart that is possible for us to experience while we're here in this earth. This kind of broken heart is deeper than being cheated on by a lover. This kind of broken heart is deeper than being dumped right before the senior prom, okay? The type of mourning that Jesus is talking about here is that of someone who just lost a dear loved one. Could there be a hurt more than that? Could there be a heartache deeper than this? I think of those times in my life when I've lost a loved one. And the feeling of that loss is like none other. This is the kind of mourning that Jesus is talking about here. Blessed are those who mourn. Now, when I went through this scripture this week and I think of the word mourning, I automatically think of that. Losing a death one and you mourn at a funeral and all these things. But it brings to light in my mind and in my memory the year 2008. I was working as a state trooper here in this area, still on patrol, doing regular duties, working all kinds of crazy shifts and all these things. And the year 2008 has been and probably will be the worst year of my career. For whatever reason, there were an unusual amount of fatal crashes in this rural area that year. And just in this one small county, we lost 12 people. 12 people right here, not on the interstate, right here in this county, we lost 12 people. Due to traffic accidents. And it just so worked out that I was on duty or either on call when 11 of these 12 people were killed. So that's almost once a month I was having to deal with a tragic scene. I remember every person. I remember every tragic scene that I pulled up to, the chaos and the hurt and the tragedy and the mourning and the wailing. But what I remember the most is the brokenhearted reaction of the family. When I knocked on the door and I delivered the worst possible news that someone could ever hear. I remember the wailing. I remember the anger of the loved ones. They didn't know what to do when they get the news. I remember the cries. I remember some people just crumbling and falling to their knees and falling on the ground in disbelief. Some of them even became angry and started hitting me, started slapping me on the chest. And some people would just go in this trance, this state of unbelief. Their mind simply could not fathom what they just heard. They were brokenhearted and they were in mourning. This is the level of mourning that Jesus is talking about, was talking about with his disciples. So let's look. What are the different types of mourning? There's a physical mourning that we just talked about, just like we just talked about when we struggle with some kind of physically broken heart or personal tragedy or trauma in our life. We know that even Jesus wept. He experienced this when he was standing at the grave of his friend Lazarus. But we also remember that Jesus' main focus was what? It wasn't on the physical life that we have now. It was on our spiritual life. He had a bigger focus when he was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, when he was preaching up there and teaching his disciples. See, Jesus spent his time teaching on the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom here on earth. He spent time preaching on that, and he spent time preaching on hell too. But these are all spiritual things. The kingdom of God was his focus. So when Jesus says, blessed are those who are brokenhearted, he's talking about us being brokenhearted over spiritual things, over spiritual life. He's talking about being brokenhearted over the sin in the world, the sin in our life. So when I read that, it says, God blesses those who mourn. I should be mourning over the sin that I commit every day. Jesus is telling us to be brokenhearted over the evilness in this world. Jesus is telling us to mourn over the sin in your life, in my life. And it makes it, and I love how Jesus puts it, he puts it so plainly, and he relates it to us so we can understand how deep of a mourning it should be when he talks about this kind of mourning. Jesus compares it to this feeling of mourning that's the deepest level of broken heart that should leave us wailing over our sin. Now hang in there this morning with me, okay? I'm not here to beat you down this morning. But we have to understand what Jesus is talking about because it's an important topic this morning. That type of broken heart that causes us to crumble and fall to our knees in the presence of God. The type of mourning that happens when we experience tragedy in our life, this kind of feeling that we should be feeling like this every day. Anytime we have an impure thought, anytime we give in to sin, anytime we give in to temptation, this is the feeling we should have of mourning. Go to Luke chapter 18. Let's flip there, and we're going to read 9 through 14. We got to stop here this morning because I want you to understand the difference in these two people. If you go down to verse 9, Luke chapter 18, verse 9, we're going to read all the way through to verse 14. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. This is the reputation that the church in general has. Church, are you listening to me? Most people say it's full of a bunch of hypocrites because they all think they're righteous and everybody else is a sinner. That's what people perceive in us as church members and churchgoers. So listen to what Jesus says. I'm not saying we are that way. I'm saying that's what we are perceived as. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. Listen to this guy's prayer. Oh, I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector sitting there back there. Paraphrase a little bit there. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." And Jesus goes on to say this in verse 14. He says, "I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Now see, church, the first thing we have to realize with this Pharisee was a church regular. He was a church member. He was a religious dude. He knew how to pray. He knew how to tie a tie. He knew how to put the robe on. He knew how to dress on Sundays. He never missed a Sunday service, more than likely. He was doing his best to obey all the law of Moses. He was trying so hard to make sure other people saw him succeed in this, but he was totally missing the boat. He totally missed the boat of what God really wanted. But here's this despised, hated, looked down upon, most of the time they were corrupt tax collector, in the back, not even daring to look to heaven, beating his chest over his sin. See, just like those people that I delivered those death notifications to, that I had to go do that. And you talk about something hard to do. Ty can relate to that. This tax collector was in mourning. In fact, he was so upset, broken down, broken, thinking of his sin, thinking of how he wasn't worthy to come before God in his temple, that it caused him to beat his own chest, to slap his chest. And I think about those people who were so upset, they would mourn so hard that they didn't know what else to do, but they wanted to take their anger out on somebody, and I would just let them slap me and hit me on my chest. He wouldn't even look up towards heaven. Jesus says this about this man. In verse 14, he says, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humble. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, the person who is desperately sorry for their sins, the person who realizes their unworthiness before God, this is the person who will be like this sinful tax collector. They will mourn. They will weep. This is when we get to the point, church, where we stop trying so hard to act like we're perfect. And we become real. We've been reading a devotion this week, and it always surprises me, and it shouldn't. We've been sharing these devotions on the Bible app. If you're not in on that, get with Corbin. They have been so good. And we all comment at the end of the day, and we start the day with that. It takes 10 minutes. But we were reading about that today, about the relationships in our life, how we hold back because we don't want people to know all of our, we don't want people to know our real us. So we put on this front. That's not the way that God wants, and that's not the way that we live a fulfilled life. This is when we get to the point where we stop trying to act so hard that we're perfect, or we're trying to prove that we're perfect. This is when we stop caring about what people think about us at church. This is when the altar in the morning is full. Instead of us having prayer request time, people are coming and falling on their knees and praying and weeping and wailing over their needs and over their loved ones and over the sick and over the hurting right here in the church service. It's called a time of invitation. It's called a decision time. This is when we stop caring about what people think of us and we let God exalt us. This is when we mourn and we fall to our knees. We humble ourselves before God. Now listen to me, church. We have to understand this morning. We have to understand this before we leave this place. This is when the blessed part comes into play. When we get to that place where we mourn over our sin and we realize our need for a Savior, when we are poor in the Spirit, this is where the blessing comes in. Mourning over our sin, just like being poor in the Spirit, it does what? It leads us to our Savior, to Jesus Christ. And just like we read last week, Jesus is the only one who can reconcile us with God. We can try everything else, but it's not going to work. Look at the last part of verse 4. He says, for they will be, what, church? They will be comforted. They will be comforted. You see, this is the part where we become blessed. To be comforted by your Creator, there is no better blessing. To experience the comfort in your heart that came directly from God. To be comforted by Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To know that the penalty for your sin has been bought and paid for. And you are accepted by God, not because of anything that you did, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's when you can say, I am blessed. When somebody says, how are you doing today? That's when you can say, I am blessed, brother. I'm blessed, sister. Even in the midst of troubles in life, even when we are mourning physically over things that happen in this world, we can say, I am blessed. Because Jesus is there. God is there to give us that settled peace in our heart. John 16:33 says this. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Not in the whiskey bottle, not in the pill bottle, not in the pornography site, not in relationships. He said, in me. I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. This is Jesus talking. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart because I have overcome the world. That eternal perspective. This kind of blessedness, this kind of being blessed is the kind that remains during the storms of life. This comfort comes from your forgiveness and being accepted by a holy and perfect God. 1 John 1:9 says this. And most of us have heard this if we've ever been in church before. It says, but if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from not some, but all wickedness. All wickedness. To cleanse us from it. And it's that peace that we rest in as you learn to trust God's perfect plan for your life, even though you are a sinner. Psalm 16:11 says this, You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. He didn't say living with you if you live to be 110 years old. He said, live with me forever. That's eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever. You see, not only does God offer us this blessing of comfort here and now, but he offers us this blessing and his comfort for all eternity. Church, we have to believe that this morning. We have to stand in that. Isaiah 25, 8, God gives us a promise right here. Listen to this, church. If you want to take it, write it down, go home and read it. Isaiah 25, 8 says this, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. I love what it closes with. It says, the Lord has spoken. Let me tell you something this morning. When the Lord speaks, it happens. When the Lord speaks, you know what happens? Things like the Red Sea split. When the Lord speaks, people walk out of the grave. Are you with me this morning, church? The Lord has spoken. Revelation 21, 4 says this. This is John. He is taken up to this by the Spirit. He is seeing into heaven with his own eyes. He says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever, church. So as we close this morning, let's take a moment and let's reflect upon the words that we read today. I know that's a lot to say about one little sentence in the Bible. Have you ever mourned over your sin? I was in here last night and I was reading this passage and I was just walking and praying and just kind of getting things ready in here last night, probably at midnight. People probably think I'm nuts when they come by and see my truck out there, but that's how I roll. And so I was in here last night and I just sat in the back, in the very back seat in the church. It was kind of creepy in here at night. And I just sat back there. I'm used to the furnace kicking on, so that doesn't scare me anymore. But I sat back there and I just pictured all the sin that I've ever committed. I tried to think of the worst things I've ever done. I tried to think of the thoughts that went through your pastor's mind just this week that are impure and they're not holy. And I sat there and I thought about them. And I said, oh God, I remember this time when I did that. I remember I said this. I remember I was mean to this person. I remember I lied about this. I remember that I had this impure thought or that I did this impure thing. I remember that. And then I pictured the fact that that's why Jesus died for me. That's why Jesus was on the cross. We talk a lot about Jesus being on the cross, but I realized in that moment I sat there and I said, that's why Jesus had to die. Because of all that sin in my life. If you've ever been to this place, you know what Jesus was talking about. If you've ever been there, you've been where that tax collector was, that point where you realize and you confess to God that you are not even worthy to look up towards heaven because of your sin. The point where you literally want to beat your chest because you realize the seriousness of your sin and what it cost and what it cost heaven. Then you are blessed this morning because just like being poor in the Spirit, this humble place means that old hardened heart that the world has corrupted, that the sin has seared and hardened, that fallow ground that once was not ready to receive the Word of God is now ready for God to sow something new in it. Amen? You're in a good place this morning if you've ever been there. You're blessed because you've been comforted. There is no better comfort, but I have to warn you this morning. I have to warn you this day, today, before we leave here and before we leave out of here feeling all comforted and all these things, I have to warn you this morning. If you've never gotten to this place where you mourn over your sin and you realize your need for a Savior, if you've never had a broken heart that comes from realizing your sin and how it has separated you from God, if that's you today, just like the Pharisee, you're missing the boat this morning. You're missing out on the blessedness that God wants to give you. You're missing out on the blessings of not only this life, but for eternity. You're missing out on it. You don't have to have a tie on this morning. You don't have to be perfect. You could ascend on your way to church like I did. And it's available for you this morning. Listen to me, church. We have to remain in this place of being humble before God and each other. Being real this morning because God knows what we did. And God knows our heart. And God knows what we need. This place of brokenness where we mourn as we picture Jesus hanging on the cross. We picture those nails being driven in his hands and thinking, it's not that person that sits in the back or that person that didn't want to come to church today because they're a sinner. It's because of your sin. It's because of my sin. And realizing that my sin isn't any better or isn't any as bad as the worst sinner that I can picture in my mind. It's all equal at the foot of the cross. And realizing that my sin is what put Jesus there. That's where it all starts. We have to mourn and wail and weep and just go before God with a humble spirit and say, God, I'm not even worthy to come into your presence. I'm not even worthy to look towards heaven because of my sin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you this morning. God, I just pray if there's somebody here today, Lord, and they've never experienced what it means to be exalted by God, to be accepted by a perfect and a holy God who is standing here today with his arms open, ready to accept them and ready to forgive them of their sin. Lord, I pray that your spirit would be so heavy upon them today that they would not be able to resist it, and they would come forward and they would say, you know what, today is the day of salvation, and I'm ready to accept the free gift of salvation this morning. Lord, I pray, God, that we will, when we're tempted to fall into sin, that we'll picture you hanging on the cross. And we'll say, you know, it's like slapping you in the face again, God. I just pray when we're tempted this week, when we're sitting there and we're saying, you know what, I can ask for forgiveness later. Think about the nails in your feet and in your hands. God, help us. Help us, God, to live out our faith every day, just like the song we sang before the offering. To live out our faith every day and to realize the seriousness of sin and what it does in our life. God, I just pray today that someone, that we would all, but if someone has never experienced the comfort of being forgiven, that they would realize it's already been paid for and they would accept it today. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If God is calling you this morning, whatever it is, come as we sing hymn number 597. Here I am, send me.